And so let us seek for God's help and blessing as we desire to meditate in his word this morning. We read the account of Belshazzar in the fifth chapter of Daniel, and may the Lord help us to make some comments on that this morning. For a text, we can read the 27th verse in this chapter, 27th verse in the fifth chapter of Daniel, and it's very simply the word tekel. And as Daniel explained that to Belshazzar as to what it meant, he said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Well, this was a tremendous word, really, and it was a word of damnation, a word of condemnation to that king Belshazzar. And if we think of it, there was the king enjoying the things of the world, having a great time, a great party, as he thought, with all his nobles and his wives and his concubines and everything else, and he did anything he wanted to. And of course he so wickedly went and commanded that the cups of gold which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple so many years ago and had kept them, now he went and required that they be brought, and that those people would then drink wine from them. And so there they were, and they drank wine, and they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. And we can think, well, surely that's a very similar situation to what the nations of the world were like, weren't they? Or are still. There is that great turning away from the true God. And there has been now for so many, many years. And people have been totally taken up with the poor things of time. And yet we see that God, in his sovereignty and in his grace and his mercy, has shut things down. Just ponder the things, you know. People are confined in their homes. There's no sport taking place. That which so occupied the vast majority of the world. Shut down. Shops shut down. People are not allowed to go about. People are not even allowed to meet. We see how the Lord God has stopped things. Well, he stopped things in the case of Belshazzar in a very, very solemn way. And there he was in the midst of this revelry, in the midst of enjoying himself, taken up with the vanities of this world. So many people are today taken up with the vanities of this world. And yet you see what happened in the same hour. Same time came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And what was the effect? In a moment, the king's countenance was changed. There, from a situation of frivolity, there from a situation of being totally taken up with carnal things, suddenly his countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. His joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. He realized that this was something supernatural. This was something he could not understand. Do you know, if we look around today, this virus which has occurred, we could say, can we not, is something supernatural. Is something which has suddenly occurred in such a very small and what appeared to be a relatively small way, and it's expanded rapidly. You think of the growth of it in the last week. It's a rapid increase. And of course, we don't know where the scene will end. But what a mercy to have a God in heaven who knows where the scene will end. And to this end, we can believe as we sang in that opening hymn, "Tears with the righteous well." And the reason that you and I can say that, hopefully you and I can say that, is because we have a good prospect of eternal life beyond the things of this life. And so what a mercy it is to have a good hope as we think of the world at large, how few there are perhaps who are wonderfully blessed like that. Well, it will be a wonderful favour if we are blessed like that and we can acknowledge the goodness of God, the favour of God, the mercy of God toward us. Well, the king at this time, he wanted to know what the writing was, and he called for naturally all the people that he thought might be able to expound it to him, but of course they were unable. And then there was the queen. The queen wouldn't have been his wife, would have possibly been the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. But anyway, the queen, she came in and she told Belshazzar that there was a man Daniel, who was indeed able to tell what the handwriting meant. And so they call for Daniel. And Daniel comes in before the king. And the king tells him what he will give him. All these wonderful things, if he can interpret them. But you see, Daniel was a man of God, and such gifts did not influence him. And therefore he said, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation." And then Daniel then goes through the position that occurred with Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar. And how, although Belshazzar would have been very aware of what had occurred, yet it did not have an effect upon him. And that is a very solemn position, is it not? And it will be very sad in our lives if there have been those evidences, or perhaps our parents, perhaps friends who have clearly been directed and moved by God himself, and yet such a recollection has no effect upon us. We carry on not believing in the great and true God. Because Daniel goes through a list of things, speaking to Belshazzar, and telling him what had occurred. And then he comes down to this and says, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this." It's a very solemn word. It's a very solemn word to all of us, you know. It's a great blessing if we can be humbled before God, as God brings to our remembrance things which have occurred, brings to our remembrance things which are spoken in the Word of God, and we turned away from them and turned our back upon them. In this word here, tikal, "thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." We might say, and you young people might wonder, well, what are these balances? What does it actually mean? Well, I believe the balances are the scriptures of truth, the Word of God, contained in the books of the Old and New Testament. These are the balances, we might say, the sanctuary in which persons, principles and practices are weighed. So what it means is this: our life, just as Belshazzar's life, is weighed up in the light of Scripture, in the light of the Bible. That really means that are we walking in accordance with the Word of God? Are we keeping the Word of God? Are we following the Word of God? Do we love the Word of God? Does the Word of God describe us? Are we thankful for it? Do we rejoice in it? Or do we just count it as nothing of any importance? Now these balances, these balances are of God. They're God's balance. They're not ours. And the great thing is, are we wanting or are we not wanting? Well, I hope to really go through these things like this to those like Belshazzar who were wanting, were lacking, and those who are blessed who are not wanting, those who are bought with a price, those who are part of the true church of God. Well, these balances then, weighed in the balances. Or may we look in our own lives to see whether we are wanting or whether we are not wanting. Now, Daniel told Belshazzar very clearly. He told him, "And thou, his son Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" And that's a very searching statement, isn't it? It was a very searching statement to Belshazzar. It was true, it was solemnly true in the case of Belshazzar. And it will be so solemn if it is true in our lives. And these words are recorded for our gracious instruction from our gracious God. And so to be able to recognize, especially these last words, in whose hand thy breath is. Our breath is in the hand of God, and that's so evident in the day and age in which we live. We see these people succumbing to this coronavirus, and they haven't got any ability to stop it. Medical profession do all they can. But you see, many, many are dying. Many, many are dying quickly. It's a very solemn situation, in whose hand thy breath is. And it's a good thing if you and I realize that God holds our breath in his hand. Our life is in the hand of God. We cannot extend our life beyond the time that God permits. We cannot extend our life. Never think you and I can. You young people, you boys and girls, never think, "Well, I shan't die today, I'm young, I'm all right, I've got many years ahead." You don't know. Belshazzar started off this day, didn't he? In this wonderful day of feasting and pleasure seeking and enjoying himself, but it was so empty, wasn't it? And we, having been told these sad and solemn truths by Daniel, we then read, "In that night," the same night, "was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." What a short 12 hours, or perhaps 24 hours it was. What a short time. His breath was in the hand of God. Our breath is in the hand of God. In whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways? All our ways. And he says this, "Hast thou not glorified?" Again, as I often say, I'm sure most of you will remember, as I say often, our life is for the honour and glory of God. And we should be very, very concerned about this, because here is a very solemn statement. Whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified God? That's the whole purpose of your life and my life on this earth, to glorify God. And it would be a good thing this morning if we perhaps just meditate and consider and wonder whether our little lives are God glorifying or if they're not. Belshazzar's was not. The vast amounts of the world today, their life does not glorify God. Their ways do not glorify God. But perhaps the Lord brings upon us such situations to awaken us, to realize the reason that you and I are on this earth, and how sad it would be if we pass out of this world without glorifying our God. That means bringing glory to God. And that means that glory to God comes through being able to declare what he's done, gloriously done, for our never dying souls. That which we couldn't do for ourselves, God does. And what a mercy it is, therefore, when we have this wonderful favour and wonderful blessing shown to us, and it causes us to really desire to glorify our God. And it is a very wonderful evidence of the life of God in our souls when we desire to glorify our God. Now, the Lord looks at our hearts, doesn't he? I of course, don't know. God knows what the position is. But may we have good cause to glorify God. Now, see, those who are wanting, those who are weighed in the balance, remember the balance of Scripture, and are wanting, you see, they do not have this evidence. They do not have this testimony. And therefore, their life and it is not God glorifying. Well, this king was in that sad, sad situation. You may remember in the Acts of the Apostles, there was that case that we refer to as Simon the Sorcerer, who thought that he could purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what did Peter tell him? He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. See, that's the whole important consideration. Whether our heart is right with God, or whether we are just carrying on like Belshazzar was, living for time. And time disappeared so rapidly. My friends, may you and I be found living for eternity. And if so, the blessing of God will be our concern that our heart is right with God. Not like this statement of Peter's, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And the only person that knows that is God and you. You know whether your heart is right with God or not, or whether you're far off, or whether you're full of the world and satisfying the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, or whether your concern is for the glory of God that your heart is right. You see, this king, he naturally had all that his heart could wish for. But what did he lack? He lacked the grace of God. He lacked the free, unmerited favour of God toward him. So what a blessing if you and I favoured with true life in our souls. You see, he was wanting in the things of God. Well, Jesus is the one thing needful. My friends, if you and I are concerned about the want of him in our lives, and if we are blessed with the evidence that he is in our life, then you see we are amongst those who are not wanting, but those who are blessed with the glorious gift of eternal life. And so Daniel tells us these words, "Whose are thy ways hast thou not glorified?" And then he told him the meaning of those words which were written, and how solemn it was. What a solemn statement. And it seems that Daniel said his part, as you might say, preached the sermon, gave the definition, and then stopped. Nothing more to say. Belshazzar was condemned by it. He had no life in his soul. He had no evidence of the grace of God. And so Tekel, that weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You know, in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, we read, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Well, today, if you and I are amongst those who by the grace of God are living by faith, are believing the great and glorious truths contained in the Word of God, then we are amongst those who are not wanting. And how important it is that we are amongst those, that we're not found condemned to be weighed in the balances and aren't found wanting. See, when we come down to the end of our life, and Belshazzar had come down to the end of his life, he didn't realize it, but he was at the end of his life. And this was solemnly spoken to him, that weighed in the balances and found wanting. Many people today are suddenly coming down to the end of their life. And will this word be spoken to them? I expect, sadly and solemnly, the vast majority of those who are being ushered into eternity will come under this word of condemnation. But a blessing for us today, if we know the wonderful blessing and the wonderful favour which is to be found in Christ, because if it is so, we will be a new creature. And Paul, in the second epistle to the Corinthians, he speaks of this, and it's a very beautiful word, chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That means he's a different person. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All those things like Belshazzar was so totally taken up with are passed away, and all things become new. We see the light shining in the face of Jesus Christ. We see a beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ which we never saw before. It was just an historical account. But if we feel to be condemned, Daniel spoke of Belshazzar, if we feel that we are, this condemnation speaks against us, what a mercy then to be able to search our hearts and find, well, by the grace of God, I'm not one of those who are wanting, because God has blessed me. God has called me out of the darkness of nature. He's shown me my sinful condition, He showed me that I was no better than Belshazzar left to myself. I couldn't throw any stones. I couldn't say, well, I wouldn't be as bad as that. No, the true child of God recognises they're no better than the worst of sinners. But, you know, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. We had that wonderful account, really, of Manasseh in the Word of God. Manasseh was a most wicked king. He followed on from Hezekiah. He was the most wicked king, but God in his wonderful mercy and wonderful grace had compassion upon him. And what a change occurred in that man Manasseh. And many today, I'm sure we all are in essence thankful that we have such an account of Manasseh. And in the second book of the Chronicles, in chapter 33 and verse 12, well, perhaps we ought to read verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. What was that? That was none other than the grace of God. And what a blessing if the Lord has seen fit in our lives to bring us perhaps into a time of, it may be physical affliction, it may be spiritual affliction, but to be able to bless God that in such a situation we pray to God. We besought the Lord. We prayed earnestly to him. And we humbled ourselves under his mighty hand. Humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him. You see, no one can be too bad. Doesn't matter how sinful we may have been. No one is too bad. We thank God for the case of Manasseh. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplications and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now then, there was a good effect. And there will be a good effect in our lives. There must be the evidence of the work of God in our souls. It was clear in Manasseh's life. There he was, the king, and now he was a changed person. And what did he do? Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings, thank offerings, and commanded in Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Wow, what a wonderful change, isn't it? And what a wonderful thing it is in our lives, if the Lord causes us to be changed like this. He got rid of all that which was of the flesh. He got rid of all those things which detracted from the things of God, and he was numbered amongst those who were the true worshippers. It's good in our lives when we see the blessed work of God in our hearts, the work of God in our soul. And it brings us really to a statement we can read in Mark, this Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Belshazzar had really everything that he wanted, but his soul was lost, and that for eternity. Very, very solemn situation. Very, very solemn situation. You see, this man had not taken warning by the judgments of God upon his father. That which was so clearly stated Thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. And note this, it is a great offence to God if our hearts be not humbled before him to comply both with his precepts and with his providences. Humbled by repentance. Yes, humbled by repentance, my friends. It's a great blessing. And then obedience. Obedience to God's gracious commands. And patience. Yes, to be patient. To see God's way being worked out before us. Patience. And don't forget, our God is the one who does the weighing. Our God is the person that divides. You know, these words, meeny, meeny, tikal, euphrasin, or meeny, meeny, tikal, perhaps peres, they can really be spoken on like that. The first is numbered, and then weighed, and then divided. It can also be described like this, signifying, easily be made to signify death, meaning, tikal, judgment, and peres, hell. Oh, my friends, at death, the sinner's days are numbered and finished. After death, the judgment, when he will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. And after judgment, you know, the sinner will be cut asunder and given as a prey to the devil and his angels. See, this account is very solemn, and yet there is, we thank God, the other side. There is hope in what Christ has done. Hope in nothing less for the converted sinner than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, what does the blood of Christ mean to you and me today? If we haven't been convinced of our sin, it won't mean anything to us. No, it won't mean anything to us. But if the Holy Spirit convinces us of our sin, like he did Manasseh, it'll mean a great amount to us. And we shall bless God for the wonderful words that Peter was able to state, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And it will be. And it will be of great value. It has an eternal dimension because it saves our soul from hell. So let us have hope in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and to be found amongst those who feed upon Christ. Not feed upon all the things that Belshazzar was enjoying, but to feed upon Christ. And the blessed Saviour tells us what that is. In the 6th chapter of John, he says, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, partakers of Christ, he shall live forever. Not die, not go to hell, live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Well, this chapter is perhaps one of the most solemn chapters in the Word of God. But as we may ponder it and think about it, may we be concerned to find the evidence that we are weighed in the balances of Scripture, and we are able to discern that God in his infinite love and mercy has come and called us out of darkness into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. That the Holy Spirit has revealed to ourselves our sinful nature, our evil, our wickedness, and has caused us to flee to Christ, to cry unto him, to repent of our sins, and to seek for mercy, and then to be brought to the cross. there to see the suffering Saviour dying upon the cross in order that you and I might receive the glorious gift of life, eternal life. Oh, that gift which will never be removed. Once in Him forever. It's a truth so great and glorious, isn't it? We should go on our way today thankful to know there is a Saviour. A Saviour of sinners. A Saviour who has not thrust us away. A Saviour who has not cast us away. But a Saviour who we know hears and answers prayer. And so may we not be found like Belshazzar, weighed in the balances and found wanting. But may we be found weighed in the balances and being able to give glory to God for His wonderful grace and mercy, which has come to us and which has found us. Yes, the Lord finds us. Like He did Jacob of old. He found him in a desert place in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful favour. Well, may we all know something of that today. And in this dark day in which we live, realise that nothing comes by chance. But yet may we be enabled to truly seek unto Him, that in these solemn days we may be found looking to the Saviour, looking for that eternal hope and blessing, and praying the Lord would come and reveal Himself to us each more and more as the days pass by, as it is not unto the world, so that we may know the glorious love of Christ, that love which supersedes everything else this world can bring about, that love which melts, that love which moves. Oh, may we rejoice in today in the love of Christ. The love of Christ which makes that, brings that glorious freedom in the gospel. May we rejoice in it today and bless our God for His mercies which endure forever. Well, may God bless His word. Amen.